Tell me one fact that you know about me.
Do you not remember one single thing about me?
Dude, things have been nuts around here. I bet you don't know anything about me.
You were born in Phoenix. You went to school in Tempe. You're an only child. Your favorite show is something called The Real Housewives of Atlanta. And your favorite book is Kendall Jenner's Instagram feed.
How did you know all that?
Because you are constantly talking about yourself. You are the most self-obsessed person I have ever met.
You should see Kendall Jenner's Instagram feed.
TBTL!
Hey, TBTL.
I used to be with it. But then they changed what it was. Now what I'm with isn't it, and what's it seems weird and scary to me.
It may be an ugly world, but at least I have a beautiful face.
I see you exhaling, sir. We're going to be with you in just a moment. You've got to be patient, okay? We're very, very sorry. Our apologies. We apologize to you. You will not have to wait that much longer at all.
All right, everybody, here we go. It's a Monday morning edition of TBTL, the show that many people say is too beautiful to live.
Uh-oh. He's starting that funny talk again.
Luke Burbank is out today. He's in Los Angeles getting makeup advice from Kathy Griffin, I think. Maybe at this point, maybe even getting a makeover by Kathy Griffin. We will find out, I'm sure, tomorrow. Luke will be back tomorrow, but in the meantime, I am in the hot seat here.
We're looking for Andrew. Have you seen him? Pear-shaped glasses. Smells like cold pasta.
That's me. My name, of course, is Andrew Walsh. And one good thing about Luke being out is I get to play all these drops from Big Mouth.
Oh, my God. Poor Andrew.
Oh, my God. Poor Andrew. That sounds like a good song.
I got another one, too.
Please, the next time you think you need to know something, Andrew, shut your face.
I've been waiting for Luke to take a vacation for months so I could pull those out. Hey, listen, I had a really fun idea for today's show, which I am dying to tell you about. But first, I want to introduce to you our co-host for the hour. She's a dear friend of the show and my fellow podcaster over there on the Spotless Podcast. Her name is Hannah Brooks Olson. And damn it if she doesn't love ska music.
Ska defines who I am as a person, and I will never turn my back on ska.
Ha! Hello, Hannah.
It's so true. Ha! I feel so seen. I still have not turned my back on Scott.
How are you doing?
I'm doing very well.
I did not tell you about my idea for today's show,
no.
But I am legit excited about it.
I'm coming in cold.
Yes. So here's the deal. You and I, as I mentioned before, have a podcast. We started. Actually, I would consider it, I don't know if Luke would sign off on this, but I would consider it the only real, like, spin-off.
Yes, 100%.
Of TBTL, because it started with a conversation that you and I had on TBTL.
Yes. Like my first time on
yes.
the show.
Answering a listener's question about yes. cleaning something. You and I started talking about cleaning. I think we said on the show we should start a podcast,
yeah.
And we did.
Yeah, well, and we were like talking about it for like a lot longer, I think, than people would think.
Yeah.
We could have. And then we sort of like looked across the table from each other and we were like, oh, dang, this is something.
Right.
And then within like, I think a month, we had, yeah, it is truly the Frasier to TBTL's Cheers.
I like to think so. And you're the Niles. I think. I have to be the Frasier.
Yeah, I guess that's so. Yeah, that's fine.
Hey, bro.
I do like Niles because he has an Italian greyhound.
I like Niles for a million reasons. That guy is great. David Hyde Pierce.
Dang!
High five up top.
Where's your bell? There you go.
Look at me. I just remembered the name of an
a
actor
whole name.
On TVTL.
Three whole names.
Luke needs to travel to LA more often.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the deal, though. In all earnestness, yes. I don't know if this is a real concern for a lot of listeners, or maybe I just read one comment in a thread one time and it got in my head, but I know some people aren't huge on the cleaning talk on TVTL
sure.
because, you know, we now have our own little world for that. We can talk about cleaning all we want to
yeah,
over there.
And we do.
Some people maybe feel like maybe they get a little guilty feeling or, I mean, I think we try not to judge people.
No, and I think, you know, I think one of the things I wish more people knew, and I don't know how to convey this better, is that for as much as it's a show, like, air quotes, about cleaning, mm-hmm. it's also a show, like, about being mildly obsessive. It's a show about mental health. It's a show about anxiety. It's a show about the things we do to make ourselves feel better. Like,
sometimes it's a show about me repacking grocery bags in front of the dude who just packed them for
sometimes
me.
Sometimes it is. It's about me and my mom issues.
It
like,
is. Actually, a big chunk of the show is just about your mom.
Yeah, truly.
I have never not gotten a voicemail from your mom after one of the shows.
She's
posts.
My biggest fan. This is a long time running. But like, I mean, sure, it's about you dusting with dryer sheets.
It is.
But and then me chiding you for not using dryer balls. But, you know, it is also very much a show about, like, just things we do to make ourselves feel better in life.
But I don't want to, again, like, I don't want to force anybody to listen to that podcast. I don't want to force anybody to hear cleaning talk if they've tuned into TBTL for other things. So here's what I've decided to do.
Okay.
Decided to put a spin on it. Put a little Walsh stank on the topic.
Oh my gosh.
I'm never going to say that again.
Nope. Scratch that one.
What's the opposite of a bell?
a buzzer.
I guess a buzzer, but I don't have that in front of me right now. Here, I got it. So I thought instead of talking about cleaning bathrooms or cleaning kitchens or that kind of thing, we will talk about cleaning language up. I went through and I found a bunch of examples of ways that broadcasters, like TV channels and stuff, have cleaned up language in movies. Like, you know the really famous example that we play all the time
Stranger
on the show.
Stranger in the Alps.
Exactly, from The Big Lebowski.
Sure.
John Goodman's character. Now I can't think of his name. It's a famous, iconic name.
I don't remember.
Whatever. His character is...
I don't think I've ever seen that movie without being extremely high, so I literally
I thought you were
going to
say bored.
No, just stoned. Just very stoned.
I got a friend, actually, friend of the show and a mutual friend of ours, Nick Jaron, has not seen that movie.
What?
And he's significantly younger than me. You're between the two of us. But you know what? I kind of get it. When he first told me that, I almost like went into like chide mode.
Sure.
Like, you what have do you mean? And then I was like, you know what? I have that same feeling with a million other things. Like, the moment passed me by for whatever reason. I know it from cultural references like crazy. To go back and try to watch it so I can make my Gen X friends happy doesn't seem super appealing.
There is also, there's sort of a bell chart in my mind, too, of like the more other people quote something, the less I want to watch it if I haven't watched it.
Sorry, Monty Python. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Monty Python was kind of ruined for me by the time I started watching. I mean, don't be wrong. I went through a small phase like any kid, but.
Well, and then you watch it and it almost feels like. You're like, oh, all of this is so hackneyed because, like, everyone I know already has quoted it back to me. Like, I already know the whole movie. Why would I bother watching it? Yeah. Then that's, like, I think there's a million movies like that I haven't seen.
In the time you said that, I could have looked up John Goodman's character's name, but I didn't. But anyway, so there's a famous scene where he is super angry. He is smashing apart a car, and he is saying some very profane things. This is what happens when you blank a stranger in the blank. Obviously, I'm not going to say what he actually said. And then they cleaned it up to say this.
You see what happens, Larry? You see what happens? You see what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps?
Okay, so that's a famous one. But I put together a little quiz because I love quizzes.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
I'm going to give you original lines or to the degree that I can say the original lines.
Okay.
And then you got to guess how they were cleaned up for broadcast. I also found a list of needlessly edited songs for radio.
Oh.
Songs where they took words out like Burger King.
Because they...
I think that must have been like they didn't want to give a...
Right?
What's that?
Like a copyright thing?
Or they didn't want to give a free plug or something.
Sure.
Seems weird to me. But anyway, we'll talk
so
more about that.
So what did they say instead? Taco Queen?
I think
that's
they just,
what I would say.
I think they just... You are the Taco Queen, I assume.
That's true.
Do you even like tacos?
Yes. Highly. I might have tacos for lunch. I'm not quite sure yet.
I think I'm going to have Hawaiian food for lunch today. I got a lunch date with Phyllis P. Fletcher.
Whoa,
yeah,
P. Fletcher.
Brag. Okay, before we get into all that, though, I want to hear about your weekend because I think you had what many, many people dream about, which is the house to yourself this weekend. Is
I
that true?
I did, yes.
I saw you on Thursday. You're like, oh, my God, I have the house to myself this weekend. And so I assume you had tons of people over and had a big party.
I had opposite of that. Yeah. I had none people over, and I did almost nothing. Sunday, I got up kind of early and like had brunch with some friends. Then I came back home and immediately got back into bed and napped.
The thing that I think you said to me on Thursday was, oh my gosh, the whole house to myself. I'm just going to clean and make candles. No, not even make candles, but like get your candle situation under control.
Yes, yes. I had a candle graveyard forming because every time if I buy one and we burn it all the way down, you know, there's still a little bit of wax in the bottom. Mm-hmm. So you can't recycle it. And so you either have to like dig out the wax and clean it to recycle it, or you can melt down the wax and then you can use it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I create like a Frankenstein monster of candles with the ends, the bits and ends, and then also like add, you know, my whatever beeswax, soy wax, whatever I'm using. And so I like harvest. I did candle harvesting this weekend. And it's a whole production. I have to like take up a bunch of counters. There's a lot of cleanup afterwards involved. So I like to do that when I'm alone. And then I did, other cleaning. And I did a lot of like cleaning tasks that I feel like I tend to put off.
Mm.
I vacuumed under the bed, which requires like lifting the mattress and getting under there with the little shark vac.
How bad was that? Wait, we're supposed to talk about cleaning. Sorry, guys. What do you want us to do?
There was at least three dogs worth of hair under there.
Oh, my God. You could have built three dogs?
Yeah, three. I did build three friends for my dog. that's so gross.
That is really, really gross.
No, I did so much like staying in and it felt so good. And the thing sounds awesome. The thing about living with someone, and I love my partner, obviously, but I also lived alone for a long time and became sort of like feral. And but part of living alone that's great is that there is not someone like, even if Keith and I are in separate rooms, I still sort of know he's there. So, like, if I nap immediately after coming home, he's not going to judge me. But in my heart, I'm going to worry he's judging me.
Yep.
And if there's nobody around and no one's going to come in the front door, I'm not expecting anybody. No one's looking for me. I can lay in my bed and fall asleep to, you know, unsolved mysteries for as long as I want. And it just is so good. It's so good.
Yes. Yeah, so Fridays are the one day of the week that I allow myself an afternoon nap. I usually work relatively late, usually until like 7 or 8 on a Thursday night because I'm working on the newsletter that goes out on Friday. And so I wake up on Friday and I'm like, this is the last day in a couple of days that I got to wake up super early and do TBTL. I'll get TBTL, not out of the way. I don't like to use that language, but you know.
Checked off.
Knock out a TBTL with Luke, then go through the editing process with the newsletter, all that stuff, and then I have my afternoon free and I will take a nap on Friday. Yes. And it's relatively guilt-free because it's like, it's what the kids call Fri-yay. It's practically the weekend. Yes. Okay. Young, very young, very cool kids.
I used to be one of those.
Call it Fri-yay. No, it's not true. Bean Baxter calls it Fri-yay.
So again,
But Genevieve told me when she's leaving for work on Friday, like I wake up and I think about this immediately, right? On Friday, I'm just like, okay, today's the day. Like just get through the show and then I'm going to take my nap. And Genevieve told me as she was leaving for work on Friday morning, she's like, oh, just so you know, we're moving offices. So I will probably be coming home and working my, you know, back half of the day from home today. And I was like, I know. And again, it's not that I can't nap in front of her. And there is a guilt. And I even said to her, I straight up said, I'm like, okay, I was probably going to take a nap. But there's no way to say that without sounding like a deadbeat POS.
Right. Well, and yeah, I mean, I work from home all the time because I am a freelancer. And my partner goes into an office sometimes. And there's definitely days where I'm like, so tomorrow what I'm going to do is like, do the dishes, probably in my underpants, because that's how I like to do everything in my house.
That way they know you're not stealing the dishes? Is it like a...
Yeah, it's like when you work like for a Coke dealer. House? Yeah, exactly right. And, you know, like I'll have all these things that I was going to do during the day that were part of my home alone time. Mm-hmm. And then he'll be like, oh, I'm going to work from home tomorrow. And I'm like...
That changes everything.
And I'm like, it's my only day.
It should change nothing, but it changes
everything.
But it's
always the one day when I like don't have a meeting or like something is, you know, like, because a lot of days I'm coming and going to meetings. So if I have the whole day to myself in the house and then that also coincides with the day that he decides to work from home, I'm always like, okay, I mean, I love you. Great to see you. So yeah, I've had the place to myself for the last 5 days and it's been... the longest.
When does that end?
Tomorrow. And it's been the longest that he's been out of the house that I've been there because he just doesn't travel that much like by himself. I come in, like, again, I'm like out of the house a lot. But, mm-hmm. So it has been a protracted period of time.
Nice. All right. Well, don't let me cut into your alone time anymore. As a matter of fact, this would be the, I have another question I want to ask you because yes. I know that you have a soup date this yep. afternoon that I want to talk to you about. Now, any other day, I would look down at the clock and I would see that we have, it's 15-minute mark. It's exactly where we should be taking a break right now.
But
now, often we would say we should take a break here, but just one more thing, and then we will go on for another 15 minutes.
Sure.
I'm going to not do that today.
Okay.
I'm going to actually take a break here.
Take a break.
Here,
okay.
Then we're going to come back.
Okay.
And hear about your soup date.
Okay. Way to forward
promote. Your boy's gone for like 5 days, and now
and
already
I'm
you're
already
making soup dates?
Yeah, with an octogenarian.
All right. So we'll talk about that. And also, I'm going to quiz you. I'm so excited about this quiz. I worked on it all day yesterday. So that's all coming up here on TBTL. Tell me when you recognize this song, or if you ever recognize this song. It would have been a good TV theme.
I thought it was a TV theme.
It really sounded like it for a second.
Sounds a lot like the like Growing Pains theme. Oh, it's got whatever that little thing is that goes boop a doop a doop a doop.
Oh, I hear it now. I didn't know what you meant, the boop a doop a doop a doop.
It's like a fake pan flute.
Here it comes. Here comes the chorus. Sarah, Sarah. You ever hear this song before?
No.
It was on the radio a lot when I was growing up. It's a, I guess, 70s song or 80s song. I woke up with this in my head today for no reason whatsoever. Huh. I don't have any friends named... Ooh.
Do
I don't think I have any friends named Sarah.
Did you forget? Sorry, Sarah.
Sorry, Sarah. And then I had this on a loop in my head, so I even went to this website called Who Sampled. Do you know about this? You can find out who
yes.
sampled what songs and hip hop, etc.
This is a common one for Keith, my partner, to pull out like when we're in bars.
Oh, that's good. Yes.
Because Keith is very into hip hop and he makes music, and so he always wants to know what the sample is for
right.
things. And so it comes up a lot.
Yes. So I was like, I'll bet you somebody. Couldn't you see like a modern day rapper somehow like grabbing part of this? And
yeah,
like,
it sounds like something that like Biggie would have used.
That's true.
Know?
Not even modern. This is like, yeah.
No, this is like 90s.
Like P. Diddy would have used this.
Yeah, in the way that like Warren G
right.
used, what's his name, for Regulate.
I don't know who that is off the top of my head.
Yes, you do.
David Hyde Pierce.
No. I'm sorry for all the listeners who are throwing their phones. Regulate samples. Who is the guy who's called The Voice?
Oh, right. Luke is obsessed with him, and our
yes.
listeners are as well, which
yes.
is really embarrassing that I...
What is his name? I always want to say Kenny Rogers, and it's not. It's something like that, though.
When you look up The Voice, you just get...
The show.
The show, The Voice.
Yeah, I'm
this
sure.
This is driving everybody crazy. Because
I'm sorry.
It is probably the most referenced... Oh, well, God. You're apologizing. I can't think of it either. Probably
well,
the most referenced musician on TBTL. Possibly second only to Donovan. Michael McDonald, I believe.
Thank you.
And by the way, I got there without looking. I just had to relax my brain for a second.
Yes.
That's it with me, by the way, and this damn memory thing, is my brain just locks up. I
yeah.
see it coming in a sentence,
yeah.
especially when I'm on a microphone,
and
my
just
brain
like
just goes into panic mode.
Yes.
And then if I just relax for a second, then, you know, everything's fine.
So who sampled this song? Sarah, anybody?
Nobody.
Oh, dang.
Yeah,
okay.
End of that story was nobody.
Well, no,
it's
the end
ripe
of that story
for
is,
the picking.
Yeah, listeners, if someone wants to make a cool...
Tell Keith. What does Keith do with his music?
I mean, have shame around it, mostly. Like all healthy adults.
I like that guy.
I know. He's great and full of shame. So you have, wait, so you want to talk about my soup date?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
so,
it's on the list here. Hold on. I wrote down, how was your soup date last week? Can you talk about that? That's my official from the TBTL notes question for you. But I realized when you got here that your soup
it's
date
today.
Is hasn't even happened
it
yet.
It is not. It will be happening while the
follow-up.
Listeners are, yeah. Well, you'll hear more about it hopefully. So I'm having a soup date with a local historian, a Seattle historian called Paul Dorpat, and he's been around for like a very long time. And I'm working on a radio piece for a local station here, for KNKX, about history stuff. And so he, when I emailed him and I was like, hey, like, would you want to talk to me for this piece? Like, I'll bring my recorder. And he said, yes, let's share a bowl of chowder.
I love that so much.
And I was like, okay.
I don't think I'm ever going to reach that age, but if I do, that's living the life, man.
I know. Is that the most 80-year-old dude? And, like, the most, like, old Seattle. I think that's the main thing, is mm-hmm. that it's, like, it is so... And we're going to an Ivers, like, on the mm-hmm. lake, that's, like, one of the oldest, like, Seattle area kind of the modern-day restaurants. And so it's just, like, everything about it. Like, I feel like I need to go in... Like wearing a sailor suit or something. Like, I don't know, like, what the proper attire is.
Don't. No, maybe. No, I think just, like, whatever you're wearing is fine.
Okay.
He is going to call you dear, by the way.
Yeah, I'm prepared for this.
Dear is probably fine. Sweetie is on the edge.
I'm okay with sweetie. You know, I worked in bars for a long time, and I used to always joke that, like, 80-year-old men were my target demographic, which is true. I was, like, raised by old men. It's great. I can charm old men very easily. But I am a little nervous about it because I have questions ready, but I can already tell he's the kind of guy where mm-hmm. your questions are going to go out the window immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So, we'll see. So that's, yeah, we'll see. My soup date, my answer is we'll see.
Do you want to explain what your story is, or you want to keep your powder dry?
Yeah. So, I'm working, I'll find out tomorrow more information about the next step for this project I'm working on. But for the next couple, or like the last 6 months or so, I've been working on a project about Seattle history at the, like, turn of the 20th century, kind of specifically around women on the frontier and the sex trade, and doing a lot of digging into, like, a lot of stories that really haven't been told, because other major cities, there is, like, a huge breadth of historical information, and I listen almost exclusively to, like, weird historical books about hyper-specific things. Like, I just listened to this one called Damnation Island, which is all about the, like, use of islands off Manhattan to, like, put people in quote-unquote homes for the poor or criminally insane. So, like...
When was that?
About the same time that I'm working with, 1905-ish.
Okay.
I mean, up until the 70s.
Whoa.
Well, yeah, because you've seen the clip, the Geraldo, when he went into the, whatever the name of the island was, and, like, RFK ended up shutting it. It's a whole thing. Anyway, okay. It's a whole history. This is not a history podcast. Okay. But, and there's just not that many of those in Seattle. There's not very many Seattle stories. Most people do not know that much about Seattle history. They don't know who the streets are named after. They don't, and those are the people who do have histories around them. And then there's so many other people who moved out here and sort of their stories were lost to time. So I'm spending a lot of time looking at old newspapers.
Is that all part of Seattle's kind of history and reputation for just being kind of out there in the corner of the country? Like,
yeah.
Seattle now is a concern, right?
Right.
Not that we're concerning, although there are a lot of concerns here. But, like, Seattle as a city is a concern. It is a growing concern, and it is a legitimate city, not without its problems. But it didn't consider itself a Chicago or New York or L.A.
No.
They were just people. They were a small-town mentality for a really long time.
Yeah, and one of the things I think is very interesting about Seattle history is the city has reinvented itself multiple times, and always sort of in the same way of, like, it's a city of industry, right? So people came out here for the land and for the logging. Then logging was, like, major, and then logging sort of took a dump, and then it was, like, shipping and receiving, and then that sort of declined as more ports up and down the West Coast, and that's still major, but, like, more ports up and down the West Coast, you know, started opening, and then it was, like, the Boeing spike, and then there was the decline, and then there was the Microsoft spike. So we have these, like, really clear points of, like, economic development, and in the sort of doldrums, there's a lot of information that sort of just didn't really get necessarily cataloged, or and a lot of people whose lives took place here and are super interesting, and we don't know very much about them or sort of why they are who they are.
That's really fascinating.
When
is this thing going to air? You're in the middle of
I'm in the middle. I'm reporting it now. I think it comes out in mid-April. So I'll make sure to... I'll drop it on the TBTL Facebook page if anybody wants to see it.
That's cool.
And then I'll have more information like probably tomorrow about the next step of the process.
And I want to hear how the soup was.
And I will also tell you about the soup. I don't think I've ever been to this Ivers, even though it's like a like landmark.
Yeah, there are tons of Ivers now.
Yeah. I this is like the first. Like,
okay. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's not on the Sound, though. It's on the lake.
It's on. It's in North Lake Union.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Gotcha. All right. Well, have fun.
Thanks.
Thank you, baby. All right. You want to thank some donors of the day?
Sure.
I have a list here of six donors. These are people who donated during the last TB Telethon. By the way, a lot of meetings happening, a lot of planning, a lot of excitement. You know about, right?
I do.
You know.
I'm so excited for you.
We're excited about what we're going to hopefully be able to do for the TB Telethon this year. We'll see how that goes. But these six folks are people who donated during the last one, and we want to thank them because that's how we keep the show going, and it's super important. I realized that when Luke thanks the donors of the day, he always has some sort of like story about either the person or the town, you know.
Sure.
And I never leave my house, you know.
Yeah, same.
So I got nothing. So what I do is I looked up the official slogan.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Or motto or whatever I could grab on these cities and townships.
I love town mottos.
So we got Nicole Oswill of Temecula, California. I'm saying that right? It's a fun word to say, and I think I've heard it before.
Yeah,
Temecula.
I think so.
I couldn't find an official city motto, but on their website, their logo has the slogan, "The Heart of Southern California Wine Country."
There's so many qualifiers
I know. That's exactly what I was thinking. It's like,
that sentence keeps going.
Exactly. Like, they're like, well, we don't want to get sued by whoever the heart of Northern California wine country
is. Or whoever the heart of just Southern California generally is.
Yes. That's probably L.A. Jim Hayes of South Orange, New Jersey, which I learned is actually, I believe, South Orange Township or the Township of South Orange.
Okay.
And I think this is... Oh, I found this deep in a... I think their mayor's... open newsletter on their website.
You did research.
I did. South Orange, City Sense, Village Vibe. I believe they came. Don't laugh. Jim Hayes may have helped come up with that because
I
think the mayor said that that was created by the community. City Sense, Village Vibe. That's South Orange, New Jersey, and that's where donor Jim Hayes lives. Let's listen to this. We're only through two, but I
was going to ask you if the goal is to get through all of them before the song ends, and then I knew the answer was no.
I need to make a remix of this. We got Amy Kieshian. No, that can't be right. Kieshian? Amy Kieshian.
You said the same thing three times.
Okay, sure. She's from Richmond, California. Listen, the donors aren't the important part here. The mottos are. Not true, Amy. We appreciate it. Richmond, California. This is wonderful. The city of pride and purpose.
I love that.
I love that too. The city of pride and purpose.
If I lived in Richmond, California. I would have that as a tattoo. That's so good.
David Locke of Redmond, Washington. Now that's close to home here. They don't have shit. They, if you go to Wikipedia, the two things you can find is home of Microsoft.
I was literally going to say where Microsoft is.
Maybe this is on their website. Bicycle capital of the Northwest. I think that's a pretty bold claim.
Ooh.
Bicycle capital of the Northwest, Redmond, Washington.
I think some other cities would have something
claim
to say
on
about that.
Yeah, maybe even some down there in Oregon,
where you're from. Yeah, obviously Eugene.
David Locke. I know that you're riding your bike around thinking about TBTL and supporting TBTL, and we appreciate it. We have two Laurels here. You got Laurel Marsh of Seattle, Washington, home of the coolest Cobro, it says on their website.
Oh,
I looked
that's
it up.
So
yeah,
cool.
I think that might be me.
I bet so.
And we got Laurel Link of McFarland, Wisconsin, gateway to Blooming Grove.
What's Blooming Grove?
That's not true. Apparently, McFarland, Wisconsin is near a place called Blooming Grove.
Oh.
It's also near Madison, but I thought Gateway to Madison was too just kind of...
Snooze.
Yeah, exactly. So how about that? Laura Link, let me know what you think about that. Gateway to Blooming Grove, that is McFarland, Wisconsin. So Laurel, David, Amy, Jim, Nicole, we love all you guys. Thank you so much for keeping the show on the air.
Thanks to you.
Thank you, baby.
You know what? I should have picked some, like, quiz music. Yeah. Oh, I think I got some right here. Good.
Hi, Dios mío.
If I just kept my mouth shut, I could just play that without...
And I would have been so impressed.
No problem, yeah.
Why does this sound like the quiz music from, like, a Mexican game show?
I don't know. It is from a game show. Oh, it's from Match Game. Yeah. A game show that actually, I think, came up on... this podcast not all that long ago, but this is my go-to quiz music. All right, so I'm very excited about this. As I told you, we've already done the whole setup. We know about the Big Lebowski, and it's famous. This is what happens when you find a stranger in the
world. You see what happens, Larry? You see what happens? You see what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps?
That is just poetry. I love it. Now, my first question for you, Hannah.
Yes.
He repeats, like in the original movie where he's actually swearing up a storm, he repeats that phrase a couple of times.
Yeah.
In the edited clip, they don't change it to the same thing both times. He
says it's two different things.
The first time he says, "That's what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps." And now when I look this up, I remember talking about this way, way back in the day with Luke.
Okay.
What does he say the second time? I have some options for you. You see what happens, Larry, when you feel a stinger in the abs, when you force a streaker into bed, when you feed a soldier scrambled eggs, or when you free a sturgeon with an axe. You see what happens, Larry? You see what happens when you free a sturgeon with an axe?
I almost feel like it's got to be that one because it's the most similar in cadence.
You see what happens? You see what happens when you feel a stinger in the abs?
That can't be it.
See what happens when you feed a soldier scrambled eggs?
Could be that one. I think it's the last. I think it's a sturgeon one.
You feel like it is when you free a sturgeon with an axe. Do I have bells? Do I have buzzers? I do.
Ugh.
I'm sorry, my friend.
What is it?
But I will play the tape for you here. I need to rearrange the audio in here. I know this is super interesting for everybody, but...
Really? Breaking the fourth wall there, buddy.
Yeah, that's what I do. Here it is.
You see what happens, Larry? This is what happens when you feed a soldier scrambled eggs.
Oh, I thought it might be that. That was like my second choice.
A soldier scrambled eggs. Let's go to...
It's explosive? Yikes.
Weird Science. Have you ever seen this movie? It's an 80s movie. I don't think I ever saw it either. But there is
I don't even... where they create like a hot girl?
I think so.
Yeah, that's why I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Anthony Michael Hall is in it?
Yes. The
Boom!
Nerd. The nerd from The Breakfast Club, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I saw clips of him because I was going back and looking for this scene. I don't know what's going on in this scene.
Great.
You have a young woman who looks like pretty like kind of punk rocked out and pierced out. I don't know. People
looks
who've
like
seen
me.
The movie probably knows. Looks exactly like you. is talking to some older people about, I'm assuming, a party or something. Actually, an orgy that she is saying is going to happen maybe in their house or something. And they're just sitting there. Mouths agape while she says this quote. I'm going to read the whole thing, so earmuffs for our younger listeners. There's going to be sex, drugs, rock and roll, chips, dips, chains, whips. You know, your basic high school orgy type of thing. I'm not talking candle wax on their nipples. Now, that was changed to there's going to be love, drinks. So that's instead of sex and drugs. Rock and roll, chips, dips. Didn't change those.
Well.
Chains and whips became chicks, peaches.
What?
Chains, whips, chicks, peaches. You know, your basic high school ordinary type of thing instead of orgy.
I was wondering what they were going to use for orgy. I thought it might be orange juice. I wasn't sure where they were going to go.
I'm not talking candle wax on their what? Instead of nipples, I'm not talking candle wax on their chests, pimples, faces, or bottoms.
Got to be pimples.
I got to say... I really, really wish it were bottoms, but you're right.
It's going to be love, drinks, rock and roll, chips, dips, chicks, peaches. You know, your basic high school ordinary type of thing. I mean, I'm not talking candle wax on their pimples or witchcraft or anything like
that. Or witchcraft.
Or witchcraft or
wait,
anything
so you
like
don't
that.
Have to ble- you don't have to come up with something better than witchcraft?
I guess not.
Witchcraft is cool.
That's close to your
Chips
heart,
and dips
right?
Is cool. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to Kill Bill. There's no audio associated with.
Oh
this
my
one.
God! How do you clean up Kill Bill for TV?
Oh my God! I know because it's not just the audio, right?
The van.
The van says something on the back of it. It's a truck. It's a pickup
yes.
truck, and on the tailgate,
yeah, it's a truck.
In very, you know, it's a bright yellow pickup truck. It's
and
now
it's got
kind
like
of iconic.
70s like type. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like kind of yes. decorations on it. And then in this big 70s kind of hippie font, it says, it basically says Pussycat Wagon.
Yes.
But they didn't yes. have the room to write cat.
Yeah. They ran. I
so
mean,
that's,
you, sometimes
so
you run
that's
out of space. Yeah.
So what, again, I don't have any audio for this. What did they change that wagon name
oh,
to?
Oh, it is that. Oh, I knew it. Okay.
Party Wagon, Panty Wagon, Bucks Truck, or Ride or Die? What does it say on the back of the yellow famous pussycat wagon? And I don't want to say them again because I've already said one word that I never want to repeat.
It has to be party wagon, right?
You think it's party wagon?
Yeah.
Party yeah. wagon it yeah. is.
Because yeah. I'm thinking about like what would be the easiest to like change visually. And I feel like...
Well, it looks like... Side by side, it doesn't look like they just changed a letter or two. It looks like, I don't know how they did it.
Yeah.
I don't know if they shot certain scenes with a different decal on the truck. Probably not.
No.
But it looks totally different.
Yeah.
Like, it looks like it's mimicking that kind of font, but it's clearly not the same
exact font.
Oh, they
definitely did it after.
So they did yeah. something in post.
I love that.
Party wagon.
And you know, the thing is, that movie is on TV a lot and has been like.
Yeah.
They got their money's worth on whatever like graphic, you know, change they had to make there. Because every time I'm at the gym, I feel like that.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, you have a cool gym.
No, it's just like on like the TV. It's on like USA or whatever.
All of our TVs. And where do you go? Maybe you don't want to tell people.
Planet Fitness.
Isn't
cheap.
I go to 24-Hour Fitness.
Oh, yeah.
Very similar to that vibe, but it's almost always, you know, luckily no Fox, but there's MSNBC, CNN.
Oh, we
and
do
then,
have one that's on Fox.
Then just like... You know, like the channel 20 or like channel 24 or 24 Hour Fitness channel or whatever, where
oh,
they
yeah,
show like a lot
too.
Of advertisements yeah. and music videos.
Yep, we have the exact same thing.
I don't like Kill Bill, by the way. I saw them both in the theater. I know you're not a big theater person,
and I was too young.
Yeah,
I think, but I was in high school. I don't remember, but yeah, I recall watching them with some friends.
Very self-indulgent.
I mean, listen, not to get all. Fucking film school on it, but is that not? Oh, sorry. Also, not to get all bleeping film school. It's too late. I already did. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
I almost knocked over a whole thing of water
yeah.
while ringing my bell.
But Tarantino, you know, that's sort of his whole thing.
Yes, but some movies show more restraint than others.
True.
I love Jackie Brown. I think it is one of my favorite movies.
Really?
And is definitely kind of his take on a more mature kind of blaxploitation kind
sure.
of thing, obviously.
Right.
And I have some issues with him as a white man who feels like he's like totally...
Like how he thinks he can do basically anything.
Exactly, right. Yeah. having said that, I think it's a beautiful movie and it's restrained. And it's not like, now we're going to put on this filter. Oh, now we're going to go in slow-mo. Black
yeah,
and white.
Right.
Oh, and now we're gonna have a kung fu
Blood.
Scene. Like, yeah. And I understand. Like, listen, I also he kind of like the Coen brothers. He plays around with different types of movies that had a big influence on him. And
sure.
so I probably don't really like the source material. I'm not a big kung fu movie kind of guy.
Nope.
And so, you know, it's maybe you could make the argument that it's just lost on me, but definitely two feature length films to tell that story does not seem necessary.
Yeah,
me.
I remember watching it and just feeling exhausted.
How do you feel about Dumb and Dumber?
I don't. I actually have never seen it.
I don't think I've ever seen either. That's a Fairley Brothers one, right?
Sure.
I think it is. There is a scene where the original line is, you just tell me where to... So, okay, Jim Carrey is fighting with the other guy. I'm sorry. I am... Ridiculous. How did
it's
I
It's Jeff Daniels, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Jeff Daniels. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I think so.
Yeah, it's Jeff Daniels. But like I wrote this shit down. Like, how did I not see that one coming?
I don't know. There was a part of me that I was like, oh, it's Dave Coulier, isn't it?
Could work.
I confuse those two a lot.
Could work.
Also, has anyone ever seen Jeff Daniels and Dave Coulier in the same room?
I have not.
Well.
Or if I did, I didn't recognize them or know their names.
Or either of them.
Okay, so in this scene, you got Jim Carrey's character, and he's fighting with Jeff Daniels. Obviously, I've never seen, obviously, they're best buds or whatever, but they're having this falling out. They're handcuffed. There's a, like, to a wall. There's a bad guy in the room. There's woman
between them. There's so much
going on. There's a lot going on. Either way. And in this moment, their friendship is faltering a little bit.
Oh, dear.
And so here, just take a listen. This is the original.
Maybe we're not as good of friends as we thought we were.
Yeah, I guess not.
I mean, if one beautiful girl can rip us apart like this, then maybe our friendship isn't worth a damn. Maybe we should call it quits right now.
You just tell me where to sign, bud.
Right on my ass after you kiss it.
Jesse, you kiss my...
Another great example of Fairley Brothers using women as something other than just a plot point to push the men's relationship forward. But
amazing.
Leaving that aside.
So three-dimensional.
I hate those guys.
Yeah, they're very bad.
All right, so... Obviously, the offending word in there is kiss my ass, or
sure.
The phrase. What did the editors change it to? Write on my amp after you kiss it. Write on my apple after you kiss it. Write on my aunt after you kiss her. Or write on my sandwich after you kiss it.
I think it's aunt after you kiss her.
Write on my aunt after you kiss her. You want to take a listen?
Yeah.
Then maybe our friendship isn't worth a damn. Maybe we should call it quits right now.
You just tell me where to sign, bud.
Right on my sandwich after you kiss it.
My sandwich?
Why did they? I mean, they must have just pulled him saying. Some of these are obviously actors, like, doing the voice.
Right. Like, recording the TV dub. Because I know they do that, like, where they'll record.
Sometimes they get other people in, though, to imitate the actors.
They do. And sometimes they'll pull... Literally from, like other films.
Right. And
that
this, I
like,
think, was pulled from a different
film.
That
sounds like Jim Carrey from, like, Liar Liar or something. And they were just like, what word can we
use? And it's just such a bad edit,
it's
too.
It's very poor dub, yes.
Yeah, let's just take a listen to the edit again.
You just tell me where to sign, bud.
Right on my sandwich after you kiss it.
Jesse, you kiss
it. It's so bad.
And they didn't change the whole phrase. They literally just, like, put a sticker over the one word. Also interesting that you can't say kiss my ass, but you can't. You can say worth a damn.
I honestly think, I think you can say kiss my, I don't know when these are from. I don't know what, I think individual
stations
have their own standards.
Yeah.
I think it can be based on time. Also, things have just gotten so loose. I mean.
It's really funny. I listen to the throwback hip hop station in Seattle a lot.
Oh, yeah.
So many times where the dub, I'm like, wait, that's the word you're dubbing? But like, not this other, like, oh, you're going to leave the word skeet in, which, like, I guess plausible deniability could have to do with skeet shooting.
I don't think I know what that is. I don't think I want you to explain it to me. And I definitely don't want you to explain it to me on the show.
It's fine.
I can look it up.
It's fine.
I mean, I feel like this has come to my attention before and that maybe I'm willfully forgetting it. I feel like this is not the first time I've had this conversation.
I think most people in Seattle who listen to that station have noticed at times where you're like, wait, you can say that, but you can't say it. Like, it's very – there's some really odd choices being made.
Well, you know what the weird thing is? After we're done with this incredibly entertaining quiz that we're just zipping through, I have that that list. Somebody wrote this list of radio songs that were edited and shouldn't have been, and he based it on – driving around L.A., he's an L.A. writer, and he was listening to the hip-hop station K-Day, which is a throwback.
Yeah.
And, you know, K-Day, this is a weird story, and I don't know if I can explain this, but I'll try.
the TBTL story.
K-Day had a huge impact on me deciding to take the job in Los Angeles that moved me down there for a while.
Oh.
And it
with
makes
the subliminal
no
messaging.
Sense at all. I was down there. I was applying for the job. I didn't think I wanted it. I wasn't sure if I wanted to go back into public radio at that point. I had my own radio show up here, but it was kind of tempting. I was very, very much on the fence, but leaning towards not interested. I do the phone interview. It went pretty well, or the Skype interview or whatever. It went fine. And then they're like, okay, well, come on down here for an interview. I'm like, all right. I mean, you got to follow through with these things.
Sure.
You don't want to lead somebody on, but I really was. And clearly I didn't lead them on.
Right.
I took the job eventually.
In fact, they were leading you in.
Yes. And I went down there, and I remember driving around with Genevieve. I think we must have flown down there. And she went down there with me just to kind of hang out. We had friends in L.A. And we were driving around, let's say, the weekend before my interview. Maybe it was on a Monday. And just scratching across the dial, scrubbing the dial, and came across this station that was playing all these old classic hip-hop hits. and it was called K-Day. And I might have looked it up, and I don't know that K-Day had a hugely rich history in LA. I can't remember at the time, but I remember just kind of really liking it. And it wasn't that, oh, I want to move down to LA so I can listen to old school hip hop. There are ways to do that in Seattle.
Although,
as well,
to be fair, Seattle did not have
it. Not at the time.
We didn't have one of those stations.
So I did find this channel charming, but more importantly, it represented that I am the type of person who likes to change locations from time to time.
Sure.
To absorb culture. Like, even if it's not a culture that necessarily I identify with, like driving around LA and just see, I remember listening to K-Day and seeing all of the TV and movie billboards. Like,
oh, sure.
75% of the billboards down there are for TV mm-hmm. shows. It's like something you just don't get up here. And that's fine. I'm not walking around Seattle being like, hey,
missing.
I wonder what's on Stars today mm-hmm. or what's going to premiere on Stars this weekend. But being down there, I was just like, oh, yeah, it's good to remember that. Like,
there's other places.
You fly down 3 hours and it's a completely different world. Mm-hmm. And I always think of whenever I hear K-Day, I think, yep, K-Day got me to take that job
Dang.
In L.A.
I
think K-Day's gone now, by the way. I think they were bought by a Chinese broadcaster.
Huh.
I could be wrong. Want me to look it up or just move on?
I mean, you can look it up while I talk about Seattle's throwback hip hop.
Okay. What is the station here? Because it's relatively new. I have it plugged in.
I don't remember. Yeah. Last couple of years, I remember it showed up and we were psyched because it's always great. Although I did, at one point I was listening to it and I've told this story before, maybe on this pod, but I had my friend's kid in the backseat. Like, I went to pick him up from daycare. And I'm like, just listening to throwback hip hop. And this kid like loves music. He was like a year and a half the time.
Yeah.
And OPP came on.
Uh-huh.
And he's in the back seat, just like raising the roof, this like child. And of course, he's facing like backward. Like, I can't.
Oh, right.
All I can see is his tiny hands and his little blonde head.
It.
And I can see him like just like waving his hands in the air as if one might say he just didn't care. And I was like, oh, man. It's like, Ralph, we're gonna have to tell your mom later what we listened
that
to on the drive home. And then
awesome.
She was like, oh, that's fine. He loves that station.
Oh, that's great. I don't think I've heard that story before. Apparently, apparently K-Day is still around in some form. I don't know if they had to move. It looks like originally they were an AM station way back in the day.
Whoa.
In the late 60s. And then it switched to FM and then it returns to classic hip hop. So I can't read
a
this
rich
entire
history
thing.
Of K-Day.
Yeah, but it definitely does have a rich history. And I think I was like, Genevieve was driving. And I was like, what is
sure.
this station? And like then reading the history of it. And the thing, I just kind of got sucked in and charmed by
it. And then
the
you came
thing.
Back and we had one too.
And then Seattle got the station. I was like, well, I can just move back
guess
to
I'll
Seattle.
Just move back.
Let's talk about this quiz for a second.
Okay.
I think there are maybe 6 questions. There were some bonus things I threw in to give you some extra points.
All right.
If
Hit
you
me with some good ones.
I want to know what your score is first.
Bad.
So the Lebowski one, you got wrong.
Yep.
Weird Science, you got right.
Yes.
Kill Bill, you got right.
Yes.
Dumb and Dumber, you got wrong.
Yep.
So that's 4, and you got 2 right out of 4 so far. So that's not too bad. All right. So question number 5, Die Hard.
Oh,
you
yeah,
ever see these?
Yeah, big. I don't know if I have, but I mean, I can imagine there are several that are good.
Mm-hmm.
There's one really clutch one where he's talking into the radio and he says, I'm not the one who just got something, mm-hmm. something on the air or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's probably one.
Mm-hmm.
There's the one which famously in Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Do you? That's the bonus question.
Oh,
do you know what it's translated to? In okay, well,
yeah.
Hold on.
Oh, I already know the Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
The original line is "Yippee-ki-yay, mf'er," right? And he says that in both the first and second movie.
No,
I
he
learned.
Says something kayak, other buckets.
That was the bonus question. Can you tell me what Boyle calls it?
When he does it wrong.
Yippee kayak of the buckets.
Boom!
I'm going to give you the bonus point. We haven't even gotten to the real question
I just
yet.
Already knew it. Okay, what is the real question?
So the real question is, so I didn't know that he brings that line back in the second one.
Yeah, he does.
And they change it to something. Do they change it to yippee kayay, Mr. Fortune? Yippee kayay, Mr. Falcon? Yippee kayay, Mrs. Finkel? Or yippee kayay, Michael Flatley?
Michael Flatley. oh, man. Okay, well, so in the second Die Hard, he's back in New York.
You know this.
That's the one that has Samuel L. Jackson in it. And Jeremy Irons is the bad guy.
Oh, really? Oh, he plays a good heavy, as my dad would say. I will tell you this. He says it right before. I've never seen this movie, but in the clip I saw, it looks like he says it, and then he lights a lighter maybe and lights a trail of fuel that is leading to an airplane. He's going to blow up the airplane. Does that ring a bell?
Oh, no, because the second one is the one that's all in an airport. The third one, with a vengeance, is the one that has Jeremy Irons.
All right. All right, we're getting
there. This is 100% because I date Jake Peralta. This is
really?
Keith is in the favorite movie is Die. We watch it every Christmas. Like, oh my gosh,
really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, no, it's the he's,
and he celebrates the entire catalog.
Well, you know, it's
Live
like,
Free or Die Hard. Is he into that
I think
one?
That's is that four?
It's late in there.
I've only seen the first three.
Okay.
Yeah, the second one is the one that's all in an airport, and it has that guy who is also on Law and Order and who was elected to the House of Representatives and is like a Republican. Whose name I don't remember.
Really?
Yeah. I don't remember his name.
Okay.
Anyway. Yes. What do you think it is?
Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Fortune. Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon. Yippee-ki-yay, Mrs. Finkel. Yippee-ki-yay, Michael Flatley.
It's definitely not Michael Flatley.
Are you sure?
No, I'm not, but I don't think it is. It could be Mr. Fortune, I think, based on who he's lighting on the plane, although that might be reading too much logic into it.
Let's take a listen. It is a terrible edit, by the way. I think this is one where it's not his voice.
Oh,
so you're going to think I'm lying because this is not Bruce Willis's voice.
I don't think Bruce Willis ever recorded options like that. I think they always
back in the day.
I think they always used voiceover actors.
So take a listen to this.
Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon.
Mr. Falcon.
Listen,
that whole voice. It's not even like they didn't leave the yippee-ki-yay and then just stuck Mr. Falcon in.
Listen to this again. This is somebody doing Bruce Willis.
Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon.
Okay, I have a little surprise for you. A little treat. Okay. You already got the Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yippee-ki-yak of the buckets.
There is
so good. So good.
So I was obsessed with that voice doing Bruce Willis, and
yeah,
I found another clip of this. I think this is still Die Hard 2. This is the TBS edit, okay? Whoever posted this online mentioned that this was from TBS, the channel, the cable channel. And in this scene, you're going to hear a lot of Dennis Franz yelling at Bruce Willis, okay? And for a second, you'll hear the real Bruce Willis just kind of mutter something like, yeah, or something. But then you'll hear Bruce Willis go on a rant where I don't know what he's originally saying, but it must have all been filthy.
So
whoever did that voice comes in and just takes over the rant for him. Take a listen to this. This is sublime.
They got to be close. I'll have my men tear this airport apart.
Just in the nick of time, huh?
Hey, McLean, I got a first-class unit here, SWAT team and all. We don't need any Monday morning quarterbacks.
Hey, forget Monday morning. My wife's on one of those damn planes these guys are fooling with. That puts me on the playing field. And if you'd have moved your fat feet when I told you to, we wouldn't be hip-deep in snow right now.
That's it. Security, you're out of here.
That sounds like an extra from a spaghetti western from 1955.
How amazing is that?
There is not a single better voice actor somewhere.
I know, right?
Who could record?
There's got to be somebody who's dressed up like John McClane and like the Walk of Fame in L.A. right now who can do a better job.
Has to be.
Want to take another quick listen?
Morning quarterback.
Hey, forget Monday morning. My wife's on one of those damn planes these guys are fooling with. That puts me on the playing field. And if you'd have moved your fat feet when I told you to, we wouldn't be hip-deep in snow right now.
That's it.
I'll tell you this. I don't think he said flat or fat feet.
No.
I don't think he said hip-deep in snow.
No.
And I think he said some other things in there, too.
Oh, my gosh. That one is incroyable. That's so good.
So you didn't get Mr. Falcon right, unfortunately.
I didn't.
But you did get the bonus question.
Yes.
So I'm going to give you, I guess, what, 3 out of 4? Because it's a bonus question. It's not 3 out of 5.
Good for you. That's fine. Thank you.
And we all win by hearing that.
We all win by learning about what a terrible, terrible dub. I know Die Hard is sort of famous for bad dubs. Like
is that true?
Yeah, and that was sort of the joke with Boyle getting it wrong in 99.
Because
it's such a profane. I mean, the first one is so. There's just so much swearing.
I have two more of these here for you.
Right.
Snakes on a Plane was a big one, right? Do you remember this? Snakes on a Plane was such a ridiculous movie that they knew they were going to be dubbed. The whole thing was built to be camp.
Yes,
they kind of went the...
Well, and obviously, I mean, the line,
Yeah, exactly. This is the line. I've had it with these MFing snakes on this MFing plane. Yeah. So my question for you is, what was it changed to? And I remember this kind of made the rounds. They played it perfectly. They did this because it was made the most
iconic
line.
It's a stranger in the Alps situation.
Exactly. And they kind of knew in advance to kind of build on that. So here are your options. I've had it with these Michael Jackson snakes on this Michael Jackson plane. I've had it with these major flippin' snakes on this marriage-forcing plane. I've had it with these monkey-fighting snakes on this Monday-to-Friday plane. I've had it with these mermaid-forking snakes on this merman-freaking plane.
That last one sounds like a good place. Like, it's like what,
yes, it does.
It's what Eleanor would say.
Forkin' A.
Forking plane. Oh, my gosh. I don't know.
Holy forking shirt balls.
Yeah.
We're in the good place.
Yeah. That's how snakes on a plane would sound on the good place.
Do you want them again? So Michael Jackson snakes on Michael Jackson plane. Major flipping snakes on a marriage forcing plane. Monkey fighting snakes on this Monday to Friday plane. I've had it with these mermaid forking snakes on this merman freaking plane.
I think it's the third one.
The third one
with
down.
Monkeys.
I've had it with these monkey fighting snakes on this Monday to Friday plane.
That's what I think it is.
Let's take a listen.
We gotta clear the snakes out of the cockpit.
Yeah, yeah, clear the snakes out of the cockpit. Yeah.
Enough is enough! I have had it with these monkey fighting snakes on this Monday to Friday plane!
Yes.
Everybody
strap
in. I'm about to open some freaking windows.
I don't think it's a freaking. Good job, my friend. Yes. That means you technically, I think, got 6 out of 6. I know, 5 out of 6. I don't know. I lost track. You know what? No, I'm mistaken because there aren't 6 questions. I think there are, I don't know how many there are because these last pieces of tape I have in here were just things I wanted to play for you. Because as I was putting this together, I was remembering that I've gone over and over on this. I don't know how well this translates to radio, but I used to love that show, Mr. Show, with Bob and Dave.
Sure.
David Cross, Bob Odenkirk. And
Bob Odenkirk.
I love them both. Although I understand David's got some issues these days, too, and who he goes to bat for. They did a parody of Goodfellas, and they called it Pally's. And at first, it's just kind of a parody of the movie itself, and then they go into a TV edit, and it's like one of those scenes. Have you seen Goodfellas or something of that ilk? You know, they're all, you know, these mobsters just hit somebody, but now they're having dinner with this elderly mom, and she's giving them the sauce, and she only speaks Italian or whatever.
Classic.
And this is the TV. This is the fake TV edit that they did.
Oh, thank you. This is nice sauce. Thanks.
Mio figlio.
Mamma.
Loopy nerd.
We buried he's probably stinking up the whole
parking
forest by now.
Hey, watch your
mother father
mouth.
Don't you tell me what to do, you little piece of
shoe.
Hey, that's my
aunt, you mother father.
Both of you can grab one on my
book. Mother father Chinese dentist.
Veeds and I will say that a lot to each other, mother, father, Chinese dentist. Now, the reason I play that, I was not going to play that because it's funnier, obviously, with the visuals. But the reason I wanted to play it was I was, you know, looking for these examples, and I came across this scene from Casino, which is obviously the same director. I feel like it's not really a sequel to Goodfellas, but it's like very much of the same. I love Casino, actually.
Really?
Well, I did. I don't know if I still do. There was a time when I liked Casino more than Goodfellas, but I think maybe that was me just being dazzled by the purple suits that Robert De Niro wears. I love his style in that.
Yes.
But there's no way that it's. I mean, I'm not. Don't nobody. At me. Like Goodfellas is better,
keep it to yourself.
Obviously. But I used to really like Casino. I don't know if I still would if I were to watch it today. But anyway, I found this actual scene of them, you know, talking in the desert. It's De Niro and Pesci, and it is like Pally's. Just take it. This isn't a question.
Gosh.
This is just take a listen to this. This is about 30 seconds.
You said I'm bringing heat on you? I gotta listen to people because of your lousy heat? You're ordering me out? You better get your own fighting army, pal.
I didn't do anything.
You want me to get out of my own freaking town?
Yeah, I said, let the stuff blow over for a while so I can run the casino. Anything goes wrong with the casino, it's my act. It's not yours, it's my act.
I don't know whether you notice or not, but you only have your lousy casino because I made that possible. I'm what counts out here. Not your fancy country clubs or your fancy TV shows.
They know they can't fool around with me like they could if I was an unknown. That's right.
You're
yeah.
making a big foolish spectacle of yourself.
You're making a big foolish spectacle of yourself. Oh, my God.
At what point do you not just, like, beep it? Like, at what point do you not
just
use...
I know. It just seems like it would be better.
Just use a beep.
And I would prefer a beep over a silence, by the way.
Yes, I don't like a blank.
In music, I like it when, you know, the when they blank out the word, but they keep the music going underneath it. That's fine with me. When they blank out the entire thing and you just lose a beat,
I hate that. Sounds like your feed cut out. Yeah.
I like backmasking if they just put it in reverse and you can kind of like
it doesn't interrupt. Or it's like it's like garbled, but it's not really. I like that too. I recently saw a video of myself doing a talk where they had beeped me.
What?
And I'd never seen anything.
You are
like
the bad girl of TEDx. What was your talk?
It was a talk I gave at Town Hall, and
Seattle.
Yeah,
not like an actual town.
Town Hall Seattle, which is a venue here. I was the I was the artist in residence 1 6-month period. And
you
so like
were?
Yeah, they gave me the key to Town Hall. I could use Town Hall whenever I wanted, like the venue.
Were you the first one?
No, a bunch of people have
that. Oh, I thought that
Tomo Nakayama has done it. And...
Oh, so the program goes back. I thought I remembered when they announced that they're going to start doing that, but clearly it's a false
memory. It was a while ago that they started it. But so I was talking, I was the writer in residence.
Okay.
And so I got to like work from Town Hall, which was,
that's
that part was
really
cool.
Yeah. In that old historic building.
Yeah. And I got to like sit in the pews and like just go work and like sort of have the run of the place. But part of that was that I had to give a bunch of talks, like or workshops and stuff. And so this was in 2016.
Okay.
And so one talk I gave, like someone like video recorded it and I like sort of went looking for it just because I was gonna link out to it and something else I did. And I had never actually watched it through and I realized that they had beeped me.
What did you say?
I mean, I talked. I opened my mouth.
Ass or something or damn?
No, I was swearing. I was
really effing this and effing
fancy,
that.
Fancy, fancy, foolish.
Peshing it up.
Yeah, it was just a fanciful, foolish talk that I gave. Because it was like from a piece I had written, and afterwards there was a Q&A, and so it was a lot of people just like asking me questions. Uh-huh. I'm like, I am just a profane person, and I don't turn it off unless I'm asked to.
Uh-huh.
Like because I don't want to anymore. And I've worked this long in my life that I just can't. But it was just very weird to see myself being beeped because I'd never heard myself talk and have it be like, and it was like very clear, like beep, beep.
And how, you know, in my head, I'm this is Town Hall, so it's probably more professional than I'm picturing. I was picturing it like one big kind of grainy shot from a camera in the back of the room of the whole stage. But was this actually kind of
it's somewhat
professionally
produced? Somewhat, yeah. I don't remember the guy who like did the filming, but they did have like someone set up to do it.
Are you going to be mad if I find it now?
No. If you look for me on YouTube, I can't imagine.
Why do we vote the way we do?
Yeah, that's the one.
All right.
Should you're going to have like, to get in there, though, because you're going
like
to have to find...
drop it in the middle somewhere? Why does it begin with a skull and crossbones? Pirate Television Presents.
Yeah.
I see. Okay. So it is one shot. I see
reading. It clips around a little bit, but...
Oh, yeah, it does. Okay. We got some... Oh, nice. Yeah.
You might be able to find a swear in there, but I was...
You're doing a lot of reading.
Yeah. I was reading... If you go to the Q&A section, that's when you...
All right. Let's try this. It looks like you're okay. So this is from a few years back now.
Economics works well to make sure that our kids are learning. And so like the other thing.
We talked about that. Not on the show. Somewhere else. Who's the actress you look like? Because you really look like her here.
It's most people say Lindsay Lohan.
Yes.
Yeah.
You like something about this angle. You really look like her.
When I was
young. Moving to the Mississippi
when
River
you were
Delta.
Young. Isn't this 2 years ago? Yeah. 3 years ago.
Then like trying to teach children. I don't know how helpful I would be at that. I think being really involved in our state, because Washington is going to be an example. Like, when the rest of the country is
I don't know if we're ever
going to
hear
in
it.
A few years. I
all right,
have,
just swear for me now. No, just kidding. that was probably not the wisest choice for me to decide to look for that here. But
that's
what I don't get is, so it wasn't a town hall presentation where they're beeping you. Somebody else just kind of
no, it was the guy who cut the video, I guess. But
he decided that
I guess no one ever asked. That's the thing is, I didn't know until I went 2 years later and found this clip.
Oh.
And then I was like watching through it and I swore at one point and I was like...
So is this is a,
it kind of made me laugh.
Is this downstairs at Town Hall?
It's in the side room.
Oh, I don't think I've ever been in the
side cafe room. Well, you won't now because the whole building's being remodeled. But
that's what I heard. But they're moving back in, right? Yeah, the organization Town Hall is going to move back in,
and the building will still stand. It's just,
but they're getting rid of. They're doing like literally a room won't be there anymore.
Yeah, or they're changing up something about the dynamic of how and they're reopening the doors. You know, like there was those doors in the middle that you couldn't use into the Great Hall.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So they're and then the basement. So so Town Hall Seattle is this like ancient building that's on First Hill. It's actually right across the street from where I used to live. And it has a lot of space in it that is like very church-like. And so I mean, it was a church. That's the thing. It was a church. And so it has a Great Hall that was like the main worship area, and then there's a downstairs basement room where they do a lot of like book readings and stuff, and that room was the Sunday school room, and it really has that vibe about it. Uh-huh. And then there was like the side of like the cafe. Yeah, so there was it was really functional as a church. It wasn't that functional as an event space, and so now they're and it also wasn't. I think the entire downstairs wasn't ADA compliant. So
that's probably the other thing, is
they have ramps and a bunch of other stuff. So
I have very fond memories of recording talks there, and that's essentially I don't know all what Town Hall does, but from my perspective, for listeners who don't know about it, you know, it's a place that puts in an organization that, you know, visiting writers, authors, all kinds of speakers come in and give talks.
Right.
If you're giving the talk upstairs, you're probably a pretty big deal.
Yeah, like I saw George Saunders there.
Right. Then downstairs would be like more like book readings and people talking about their books, and then a Q&A in a much more kind of intimate environment. And I had kind of had mixed emotions about it because that was one of my first jobs when I first moved here, was to like 4KOW, the local station. I would go and record these, you know, record the talks and, you know, basically just deliver them to the station unedited. And then they would produce them for a show called Speakers Forum. Yeah.
I got beeped.
You got beeped? You were on Speakers Forum?
No, I gave an Ignite talk. I just remembered. Mm. I gave an Ignite talk and they run them. And I didn't realize that it was going to maybe be on public radio, like local public radio.
Oh.
And I was in the car and I heard that our Ignite talks were like being played. And I was like, oh, like, okay, let's see how I sound on this. And I was like, oh, right. I sound profane.
And so they beat you like crazy.
Oh my gosh.
Our friend John O'Brien, you know, John, he produces that show now. But back in the day, there wasn't one person who was doing it. We would kind of like rotate in and out. Eventually, I climbed the ladder to the point where I was hosting the show for just here and there. And I remember I was talking to somebody recently, because I'd kind of forgotten about that part. I maybe hosted somewhere between 2 and 5 shows.
Said,
I have
like,
no idea.
Functionally, like intern or like sort of like lower level producers were the ones that they send out to go record.
And they'll send some, when you're a brand new producer, you go out and just collect the tape basically and deliver it. And then, you know, you get to do a little bit more production. Now, when I first came to KOW, I had already launched a show as a senior producer.
Sure.
I'd been working in public radio for a long time and climbing the ladder. So it felt at times some of the stuff that KOW would ask me to do was kind of like not where I was in my career at that time. I don't want to sound snobby about it, but I also just like doing shit.
Sure.
I love radio. So I sort of felt like I should have been aiming higher or something, but I also kind of didn't care. And what I cared about was the fact that I couldn't pay my bills.
Yeah.
I didn't have, you know, a regular job. It was an excuse to go to Town Hall once or twice a week and hear these talks that I wouldn't hear otherwise, who were just like just fantastic.
Yeah,
people.
And they book really great. Yeah.
Really
they
good.
They book really great.
Jill
clubs.
Lepore, I remember, was one of my favorites.
Yeah.
And I think she had been on our show earlier in that day, and I was producing that show, and then at night I saw her again. I remember also the only one I didn't like was Michael Medved. I didn't know who he was at the time. And later, years later, I would be sharing
like,
a roof with Michael Medved
because,
you know, I don't know if he still does, but he certainly used to do his conservative talk radio show out of the Cairo studios.
Oh, my gosh. I love that guy. I lived across the street from Town Hall, and I would try and go as often as I could. But
and now I never do that anymore. When I think about it, I have such, like, it was so great to be forced to sit there. And
now they sort of, the Town Hall organization is still doing stuff all over town. Like,
yeah.
That's sort of the thing. It's, like, on the move while the space is being renovated. But once it's done, it'll be
right.
Maybe more accessible. So
yeah, and I hope it still has character. That's the big part.
Oh,
of it,
I think you couldn't lose it. I mean, there are so many strange parts about that building. But if you're ever in Seattle and you want to like see something happen, like definitely go to Town Hall. But know that people might swear and then they might get beeped.
I'm going to take a listen to this. I actually didn't. I want to read you a few of these examples. I don't have to do the whole list. This was strange and unnecessary radio edits and song lyrics. It was written by Sam Greenspan in something called 11points.com.
Okay.
I just felt like I should. I mean,
sure. Get after it, Sam.
And the first example he gave was the song Starships by Nicki Minaj. And I think he said this is the first line. So I didn't listen to this in advance, but let's take a listen. It's a good song.
Great song.
Let's go to the beach, each, let's go get a wave. They say what they gonna say. Have a drink, clink, found a Bud Light. Bad bitches like me, it's hard to come by. The Patron, let's go get it down. The sound,
now I just want to listen to the whole song.
I know. Three, leave a good thing. I'ma
blow all of my money and don't give a shit. Flow,
okay, I can't find the lyric that he's talking about. Apparently, at one point, she says, "My name is Onika, you can call me Nikki."
Okay.
And the edited lyric is just, "My name is Silence, you can call me Nikki." They just bleeped it out.
I think it's a bad word.
And this is Sam. I'm going to read directly here. Nicki Minaj's real name is Onika Mirage. So in this verse, she's just referencing her real name. Only it appears someone along the way heard Onika and thought she was dropping an N-bomb. So her own name got cut from the radio edit.
Oh my gosh.
Right? That's kind of irritating.
That is, and like offensive.
I mentioned at the beginning of the show, Burger King got bleeped. That was out of the Humpty Dance. I once got busy in a Burger King bathroom, which I have a whole story about that, how I like kind of forced a DJ at my sister's wedding to play that, even though there was a no rap policy.
I hate that policy, but okay.
Not great. Anyway. Then nobody, like, the dance floor cleared. It turns out me and Genevieve really were the only people who wanted to hear any hip hop. So I guess know your audience. And so we just had to dance like fools out there in front of my family. And one thing, so Luke and I were talking about it. And in my story, I said, boy, then you get to the line. I once got busy in a Burger King bathroom. And I kind of forgot about that line. It was kind of embarrassing. Like, again, that ringing out while, you know, me and my girlfriend are dancing like idiots at my sister's wedding. But then Luke and I, on that show where I told that story recently, we went out with that song. There's so many problematic things that he says before that. Now, they aren't necessarily beepable, but like, I was kind of like,
just the context itself.
And in 2019, going out with it, I was like, oh, God, yikes. I don't remember what they were now, and maybe I'm being too snowflakey about it, but I remember on the show a few weeks ago being like, wow, that I kind of missed the point. That song has a lot of kind
of
dirty stuff going on.
You're like, it wasn't even the Burger King part.
Yeah, and I can't remember what it was. I mean, just like, I don't know. But anyway, Boom Boom Pow by the Black Eyed Peas, original lyric, here we go, satellite radio. Y'all getting hit with the boom boom. They bleeped satellite radio because the assumption is because terrestrial radio stations didn't want to advertise satellite radio.
Stop. I was going to say it's a crime that entire song wasn't beeped. But
I like that song.
Whoa.
I think I like the beginning of that song. That's the one where she, how do you not like that? She says 2000 and late.
Yeah, that's a very bad line.
I'm sorry, you asked for this. I love this part. That kind of backmasking sound.
Gotta get dip.
Oh my God.
Gotta get dip.
You don't like this?
No. Gotta get dip.
Do not.
Gotta get dip.
Okay, how about this, though? I'm just going to torch with Black Eyed Peas.
No.
How about I'm a
Bee? You're not just torturing me.
Do you know the song I'm a Bee off the same record? I love the beginning of this one. And Fergie's first verse, let's listen to a little bit of this. Also, I love picturing bees dancing to it.
I'm a bee.
Little bee dancing.
You're just like imagining like bee movie.
Let's just hear a little bit of her first verse because I think I like her part and then it falls off.
I'm gonna be on the next level. I'm gonna be rocking over that bass treble. I'm gonna be chilling with my mother crew.
Did she just say mother, father, crew?
She either said mother, father, or mother. I couldn't quite tell. But it was
I'm not even trying to play. I'm just playing this off.
Definitely got one, though. You got one in the wild.
What? How did... Boy, the podcast gods are smiling at me. Let's listen to that again.
I'm going to be rocking over that bass treble. I'm going to be chilling with my mother crew.
My mother, father, crew.
Amazing. You found one.
Just not even trying.
I'm going to send this into Sam Greenspan at 11points.com. By the way, this list was originally written in 2013.
You mean 2000 and late?
I'm 2000 and late. Give Me Everything by Pitbull. He says, I'm an American Idol. I get money like Seacrest. Again, L.A. Radio host Ryan Seacrest, and it's syndicated, so it's all over the place. The idea there is probably that they didn't want to give any unpaid promotion to another radio station. Thrift Shop by Macklemore.
Oh.
Macklemore or Macklemore, how would you say that? Probably should have washed this. Smells like R. Kelly's sheets. Piss is a famous line from that. And they bleeped out. All the whole thing, R. Kelly's sheets piss, is all bleeped out of the
radio.
They
couldn't just pick out the piss.
Right, and that's what Sam says. You're very much like, Sam, I understand editing out piss, but you have to edit out R. Kelly too. Has he reached that point of all-out taboo? This was written in 2013. I would say in 2019, actually.
Honestly, in 2013, also yeah, but you know. Fine.
It takes time. I know I've said this on the show before, and people should like what they like. I like Ryan Lewis a lot. I like the music behind Macklemore's music, but I hate his lyrics so much, and I hate his rapping so much. And this is exactly why. Like, even he had this somewhat clever line, questionable on edge, given the seriousness with which we take all of this stuff. But saying it smells like R. Kelly's sheets, that would be fine. Don't explain the joke.
Yeah.
Don't be an Andrew.
You don't have to explain to people why it's good or funny.
Like, you killed your own clever rap lyric by doing
I mean, that's
that.
What's great about, like, you know, the artist that I love the most, the Donald's Glover of the world, say, who does not hold your hand through literally anything.
Exactly.
And if you miss the joke, like, tough noogies, like, keep on moving.
Exactly.
And I like that.
Yes.
Like, you know, I appreciate Chance the Rapper, I think, is the same way.
I think early Kanye is like that.
Oh, certainly.
Bodak Yellow. Why am I blanking on her name?
Cardi
B, very clever with some of that stuff, and it just goes by.
Yeah, and if you miss it, it's gone. Yeah, 100%. And that's what. Yeah, I think you're right, and I think it's, you know, it's the same with writing. I think people who are sort of overwrought in their writing, I have the same reaction to, where I'm like, yeah, I get it, thanks.
I don't have a problem with the word placenta, but some radio stations do.
Literally a body part.
Lightning Crashes by Live. Do you even know that? I had to live with that song growing up in the 90s.
Oh, my God. On our local alternative radio station?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Lightning crashes, a new
what
mother
a
cries,
bummer.
Her placenta falls to the floor. By the way.
I mean, but like, it is a body part. It's literally the thing that feeds babies when they're in the womb.
A lot of people, I think me included, probably to the degree that I thought about this, probably think that this is a story about a stillborn or a stillbirth
or something like that.
I thought this was interesting. This is the lead singer talking. The band dedicated, well, this part's from Wikipedia. The band dedicated the song to a high school friend, Barbara Lewis, who was killed by a drunk driver in 1993. Oh. And the lead singer says, I envisioned this taking place in a hospital. Apparently, the video itself takes place in a home. And he's kind of talking about the video. But he's talking, the song he envisioned taking place in a hospital where all these simultaneous deaths and births are going on.
One family
mourning the loss of a woman while a screaming baby emerges from a young mother in another room. Nobody's dying in the act of childbirth, as some think.
Huh. Well, maybe he shouldn't have the placenta falling to the floor, because that doesn't usually happen with healthy births.
I don't know. Also, you're supposed to save that placenta now, right? Make a smoothie out of it? People eat placentas.
I know they do, and it doesn't make it okay. Also,
I would think that, listen, I'm not saying that you'd be down with chomping on placenta, but...
No.
I am surprised that you have that reaction to it.
Icky, which is why I'm never having children. But I mean, whatever. It's a beautiful natural process, but also ew.
I wonder how, if I were to say that, that would not rest easy with people.
I'm allowed to say it because I have a
uterus. I do wonder about that. Yes, a lot of women out there right now,
and everybody
probably listening with their beloved children.
I literally was just talking about how I was driving around with a child. Corrupting his mind earlier in the show. I love children. I have written about it extensively that I love them. But also, I've been there when several people I know have, like, given birth or, like, around. And it's a gory process. It's not for the squeamish. And it's, you know, women are tough as hell. I do think it's interesting that a band was just called Live, which is really how you know they were pre-SEO.
Right.
Having a band called Live in...
even 2000 late would be would be a difficult a difficult sale for a for like a record company, because you literally could not find them.
Also, Michael McDonald going with The Voice,
right?
Bad idea. Yeah. Years later.
Did The Voice, the show, ask Michael McDonald if they could move in on his brand?
I doubt it. And little did he know that years later, a podcast host would not be able to come up with his name, even though we talk about him day in and day out.
What do you think is the worst part, though, that I couldn't remember his name, I could only remember The Voice, or that I only know him because Warren G sampled him?
Either way, you gave me some cover on that, so I feel better about that. What
you're
about
welcome.
Anything else in this? Knock You Down by Kerry Hilson. I like Kerry Hilson. I used to be Commander in Chief. Oh, yeah, you do.
Do I?
Yeah. Let me play her.
Who it is?
Remember Pretty Girl Rock?
Oh, very vaguely. What's your
name? My name is Kerry.
Right.
I'm so very. This is such a good song. It's a little
bit. I do remember this song.
Anyway, that's not the song we're talking about. The song we're talking about is
we're getting
this
a deep
one.
Cut.
This is this is Knock You Down, and it's listed as her most popular song.
There's no way that there's a song that's more popular for this woman than Pretty Girl Rock.
It's not even close on Spotify. This has 120 million listens. The other one has 49 million.
What? This track?
I think when we get to the chorus, because this sort of rings a bell to me.
Skeptical.
I'm leaving it going because I think she's going to say the line. I swear we're getting close to it, but she says at some point around here, I used to be commander in chief of my pimp ship flying high.
And what part did they bleep out?
They didn't bleep out pimp, which I think is problematic.
I feel like that's the most offensive part, personally.
They beeped out ship.
What? Because they thought she said shit?
I think so.
I imagine.
Yes.
Oh my God. Who are these people? Whose job is it to decide? Who's like the standards nerd who like has to listen through songs and be like, oh, bleep, no, don't.
It is probably a nerd. Probably wears glasses. Kesha's. See, this isn't even a dirty word. She says, it's pretty obvious that you've got a crush. That magic in your pants is making me blush.
Oh.
They beeped out pants.
Pants? Pants?
Like, they changed it to that magic in your is making me blush.
Because you can't even insinuate that someone has magic
in their trousers.
In their
and the last one is another Seattle rapper, Baby Got Back. Apparently,
Sure.
Some people edited out the Dial 1-900 mix a lot and kicked them nasty thoughts
in
because
case people actually call the number.
Apparently, they
you have
say
555-555.
Yet, Sam Greenspan. Thank you. I was scrolling up to his
You're
name
welcome.
Again. Has a good point. He says, what about Tommy Two Tone? 8675309. That got played like crazy.
It did, and they ended up having to disconnect the, like, they had to take the number down. I remember that there were people who had that phone number, and then they had to, like, the phone companies literally don't issue that number anymore.
Oh, my God.
Which is good, I guess, because that was also the fake number I gave out for years. It's amazing once you put an area code in front of it that people do not notice. Like, once you put the area code in front.
The rhythm is interesting, too. 8675. Like, here in the States, we always break it up by threes.
Right.
And so when I was writing it down
so
from my notes.
867-5309.
And then it breaks up the. Yeah.
Yep. And it's at least enough to get someone to leave you alone at a bar.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks a bundle, Tommy Two Tone. No, but seriously, I actually really appreciate that.
All right, I know you know about TBTL, the podcast. You're listening to it right now, but have you tried TBTL, the newsletter? because you can. Just go over to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. I gotta say, it's a lot of fun. Every week, Luke and I record a little video that we include in the newsletter. It's called Hey Dummies. We answer your questions, any questions you want to ask us. Well, there's all kinds of things in the newsletter. Don't take my word for it. Here, this is Mary. She's a big fan of the newsletter.
It has a nice welcome introduction, but then you have these phenomenal GIFs that are so much fun. You talk about amazing, wonderful people, and you introduce us to new things. And then the songs of the week. Oh, my gosh. And it just makes me so happy.
It can make you happy, too. I mean, listen, this is coming from Mary. She doesn't even listen to the podcast. She's here just for the newsletter. No joke. So, again, go to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. And we'll try to bring a little extra sunshine to your inbox every Friday afternoon.
Here I go once again with the email. Every week, I hope that it's from a female. Oh, man. It's not from a female.
Hannah, I think you're going to like this voicemail that I was going to play anyway, even if you weren't here.
Amazing.
But it is somewhat related to cleanliness.
Okay.
I used a very clean bathroom in the mall one time, and I told the story on the air.
I was honestly shocked that there was such a thing. Go on.
It was amazing. It was, I think, around the time I was moving back here to Seattle. I had to return. You know, when you're moving, you're just like, you have those days where it's like, I gotta wake up early, gotta return this thing, do this thing, drop this off at the thrift store, blah blah blah. And the very first task I had to do that day was return my cable box to, you know, the cable company, which was located near this mall, or maybe in this mall. And it was early, so I actually got into the mall before it was officially open. Like, all the stores and everything were closed, but the mall itself was open.
Oh,
it's like 9:30, and it's going to open at 10. And so I need to use the restroom, and I go in there, and it was pristine. I went to use the stall, and there were still soap bubbles in the toilet. Like, it had
just been cleaned.
It was fantastic.
Oh my gosh.
I didn't want to leave. I honestly remember thinking,
consider just moving in right then and there.
It was a weekday, and I was taking the day off of TBTL that day for moving stuff. And I remember, like, you know, after that experience, walking around being like, how am I not on TBTL today? I need to tell Luke about this clean. I was the first person to use a bathroom in a mall. It was amazing. Well, ever since then, some people will call in with their own clean bathroom stories.
Oh my
gosh. Wanted to share this one with
you.
I don't have the caller's name, but take a listen.
Hey, Luke and Andrew. I just want to call and let you know I never thought it would happen to me because the bathrooms at my office are usually just absolutely appalling and filthy. But today, just a few minutes ago, I approached the restroom, and the maintenance person was standing out in front of the door, and I was nervous that they were about to go in, and it turned out I went in there and it smelled like cleaner and bleach, and it was wonderful. I finally had that first in the bathroom clean experience, and I'm not going to share my name because of the disparaging remarks about the filthiness of the bathrooms at my office, but it was wonderful, and I had to tell you about it. Thanks.
I never thought it would happen to me.
You never forget your first.
I want everybody to know that there is hope out there. If you're like, that'll never happen. I'll never be the first person to use a brand newly cleaned public restroom. It can happen to literally anybody.
Any one of us, and at any time. Today could be your day.
Today could be. Get out there and get pooping.
Don't ever give up hope.
Do you want to call the show that?
Get out there and get pooping.
I do not want to call the show that.
I was into it.
Yeah, sure. It's not your show. what music should we go out with? Do you have any feelings on this? I got to play a lot of music that I like.
Oh my god, anything that isn't the
Do you like that song better now that you're picturing bees dancing to it? A little bit.
Yes. Thank you. Yes.
Then that's all I ask.
Sure. Yes. What do I want to go out with? I mean, we mentioned a bunch of things that are really profane.
Yeah,
so,
nothing too filthy that I can't find an edit of.
Not any of the, like, Donald Glover that I was
right.
Thinking. Let's see. What have I been listening to a lot of recently? I went for a run the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, I don't know, blowing through Spotify to see what I could find. And I was reminded how much I love Reba McEntire.
Oh, I did not think that's how that was going to end.
And I was listening to Fancy. And I was just thinking about it as we were using the word fancy in place for an F-bomb.
That's her number one song on Spotify.
It's a great song.
I don't think I know it. Or is it one of those when I start?
Is it about a teenage prostitute? Yeah, but it's fine.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but it's great.
That's good.
That's a great song. So I think we should go out with that.
All right. That's
because it's
awesome.
One long radio edit with the word fancy.
Do you think that I will know this when I hear it? Like, I know the name
I
Reba
think you probably
McEntire,
will.
Obviously. Huh. I don't think I know the song, but we will find out here.
Well, I remember it all very well. Looking back, it was the summer I turned 18.
She has a look on the cover of this record, man.
Yes.
That is awesome.
Yeah, she's got a vibe.
Definitely. What would you, I don't know how well you can remember it, but how would you describe that hat? It's one of those big, like, floopy hats.
Yeah, she was very much like 90s popular country, but she also has this, like, incredible red hair, and she just looks really, like, I don't know. She looks like the hottest broad in a honky-tonk.
All right. We will go out with this. Hannah Brooks Olson, thank you so much for putting up with my bullshit today.
Anytime.
Let's see. So we'll plug Spotless again, which I do a lot on the show. So
do you?
Sorry,
good
everybody.
For you.
I think so. What else, though? You got a story coming out on KNKX, hopefully
I do.
Later this
I hopefully
spring.
Also have a story coming out. I mean, I have a lot of things that are, like, in process. But you can always follow me on Twitter. At Ms. Hannah Brooks, or you can follow me on Medium because I publish a lot there. And then also, if you go to my Twitter, you will find I have a newsletter, and my newsletter comes out sometimes. But
all via Medium too.
No, the newsletter is through Tiny Letter, but that's the way that I will let you know what I've published and when it comes out. So if you care to read things that I write, that's the way to get them.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you again. We're going to get out of here. Everybody, Luke will be back tomorrow, which means probably a lot more interesting stories from his life, but a lot fewer quizzes. So I don't know how you feel about that stuff. Okay. We will talk to you guys tomorrow morning. Thanks. In the meantime, please remember, no mountain too tall.
And good luck to all.
People came and took the baby, mama died and I ain't been back. But the wheels of fate started to turn, and for me there was no way out. Wasn't very long till I knew exactly what my mama been talking about. I knew what I had to do when I made myself this solemn vow. I was gonna be a lady someday, though I didn't know when.
Power out.